He thumbed through one of the books until he came to a diagram of the Fenice. The audience comes in here, through the Apollonian entrance wing, which is neoclassical in style. Apollo is the god of the sun, the god of order and reason. The rooms are formal and symmetrical, and although the decoration is opulent, it is very restrained. Then, as the members of the audience pass from the Apollonian wing into the auditorium, they suddenly find themselves in the midst of a fantastic forest glade, flamboyantly decorated with flowers, vines, faces, masks, satyrs, nymphs, cherubs, griffins, and other mythical creatures. This is the exuberant realm of Dionysus and Bacchus, the ancient gods of wine and revelry. The dichotomy between the two cults, Apollonian restraint and Dionysian abandon, is very important to the Italian theater, and particularly to Venice. Do you know the difference between Apollonian music and Dionysian music? Apollonian music is the music of the city, and that includes opera. It has a codified form and follows accepted structural norms. The music of Dionysus is the music of the countryside. It is improvised music, spontaneous, without structure, formless. Nowadays we would call it pop music. It evokes a sense of pure pleasure. It is the music of oblivion, of alcohol, of wine and drunkenness, of Dionysus and Bacchus. The architect Giovanni Battista Maduna understood that, for Italians, opera is more than just what happens on the stage. The whole experience of going to the opera is a gradually unfolding ritual that begins with the anticipation, getting dressed for the evening, then coming to the theater, and then entering the place where the main event is going to happen. As with any ritual, whether it takes place in a temple, an arena, or a theater, the setting is part of the experience. Maduna planned the decor of the auditorium so there would be a crescendo of ornamentation. This was the plan. From the orchestra, your eye would be carried upward through the foliage of the magic garden to the wonder of the sky, represented by the shades of blue in the ceiling and the light of the central chandelier, which is Apollo. Apollo being, as I said, the god of the sun. All the other figures in the auditorium belonged to the cult of Dionysus and Bacchus, and the woodland spirit of Arcadia, because that's really what the place was meant to represent. There was even a satyr above the stage. The theater was like a clearing in the forest, an enormous outdoor gazebo with the sky above. The audience was immersed in nature, relaxed, preparing itself for the performance, waiting for the music of Apollo, opera, so they could observe and learn. This was the iconography of the Fenice, and this is how the theater should be read. "I would guess," I said, "that you're opposed to the idea of building a modern interior inside the existing shell of the Fenice." "Yes, of course. And it really isn't a question of aesthetics. It's a question of preserving the Dionysian experience that Maduna created for the spectator in the auditorium. The lights in the theater were never completely turned off, even during the performance. They were dimmed to a soft glow, so the spectators could still see the images. The images kept them company. You might have gone to the theater alone, but you still had company. This is a relationship that modern theater does not care about. The focus today is completely on the stage. The show is sacred. Everyone must be quiet and watch. Modern theaters are sterile places that have great acoustics and great visibility, but no decoration. You no longer have any company. A new Fenice should have state-of-the-art air conditioning and modern equipment backstage to move scenery, but it really must retain the Dionysian theater hall.
Because Venice is a Dionysian city?
Lovato laughed. Look around you. Look at this shop. Look at the people passing in the street. Carnival is a celebration of the magic, the mystery, and the decadence of Venice. Who would want to lose that?